Coming to America, that's what's coming up on The Art of Bombing, episode 191.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Bombing. Dan Bublish Jr. here with you again today. It is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Hope everybody had a fantastic week. I did. I enjoyed my vacation. Went to Florida for a few days with my fiance. Hung out with her friends. And we were we did quite a bit in 5 days. And I got to see quite a bit of Florida. And it was a good time. Don't worry, I was safe, wore my mask, had my hand sanitizer, did my social distancing, and I know it's still a pandemic, and there's still some, you know, hazards out there, so we did our best to be safe, but we needed the little vacation, and it was good. We had a good time. So now we're back, though, and I'm ready to go at this. I have a great guest today. My guest is Miss Micah. She is a comedian. She's a German comedian by way of South Carolina. That's right. She's from Germany, but she lives in South Carolina. And we had a great conversation. We talked a little bit. Oh, I should say a little bit. We talked quite a bit about her moving from Germany to America. And, it was a great conversation. So that's what's going to be coming up on today's episode. But before we get to that, we got to talk about business. That's right. We got to handle the business. This intro is going to be a little longer than they have been because I've been away. I wasn't here last week and I made it all quick. And I got a lot of stuff coming up now. And I got things to talk about. Like, the first thing I want to talk about is a podcast. Oh, yeah, I know. You're listening to a podcast. You're listening to the Art of Bombing podcast. But I think if you like the Art of Bombing podcast, you're going to like this podcast. If you're not listening to it already, you should be listening to Behind the Bits with Scott Curtis. It is a fabulous comedy podcast that is dedicated to delving in. It goes deep dive into the mechanics of comedy. Every week, Scott interviews a professional comedian, and he's getting, you know, going right after the deep stuff on the writing. You know, he wants to know what their process is, their methods, their inspiration, all these great things, their motivations. You're going to find out from professionals what they're doing. And then hopefully you can apply it to your writing style, your motivation, finding your voice, and getting better at stand-up comedy, because that's what it's all about. Now, if you don't believe me that this is a great podcast, well, I'll have to tell you this. It won the Discovery Pods Annual Award for Best Interview Style Podcast for 2020. That's right. It is an award-winning podcast. That is Behind the Bits with Scott Curtis. You can get it. You can listen to it wherever you listen to this podcast. In fact, wherever you're listening to The Art of Bombing, you can listen to the Behind the Bits podcast. Or you can go to his website, which is thebtbpc.com. Go check out Behind the Bits wherever you're listening to this podcast. I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy it. He's had fabulous guests, like lots of legends on there, and lots of legends, and me, and he had me. I'm not a legend, but I was on there, and it was a great, great time. So go check out his podcast. All right, moving on, I've got some upcoming shows this week. You know, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, on Wednesday, I'm going to be doing a Zoom show. You can look up, it's called The Grind with Dan Mills. It is a Zoom virtual show. It takes place at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're in Central, that's 11 p.m. It's a free show. Like I said, if you just go Google you can go to my website, danbublitz.com. I got the information there. What am I talking about? Just get at me. I'll get you the info to the show. That's on Wednesday. Then on Saturday, I'm doing my first live show of 2021. Hopefully I remember how to do comedy, right? Or it's going to make for a great story next week if I don't remember how to do comedy, because I'm also headlining that show. But it'll be a good time. So that's going to be on Saturday, 7 p.m., the St. Francis American Legion in St. Francis, Minnesota. Tickets are available at the American Legion or at the door. So if you live in that area and you want to come see me, just come out. Come out. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have fun. And I'm going to hopefully remember how to do some comedy. Now, another upcoming show. This is a virtual show for the Art of Bombing podcast. I'm going to be doing a Between Bombs stream on Facebook on Saturday, February 27th at 11 a.m. And I'm going to be talking about merch. So that'll be something worth tuning into. I can't even talk. You're going to want to tune in to that because it's going to be, I'm going to talk about merch. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to give you some ideas on what you can do for merch, where you can get merch, things you should consider before you get merch, all that stuff. We're going to talk about it. And lastly, before we get into this conversation with Miss Micah, I do want to talk to you about this. I have been working on an electronic press kit workshop that I've done. I've done it a couple times and went really good. I was workshopping it out and I had some volunteers that sat in on it and they got a lot of good information out of it. And now I am doing it again on March 13th, 2021 at 1 p.m. Central Time. It's about a 2-hour workshop. This time, though, it's not a free workshop because I've got it worked out on how I want it. So it's only $30. You can get tickets at blitzedentertainment.com. Now, you're going to get quite a bit out of this because in addition, so you get the two-hour workshop with a Q&A as we're going. Then I send a PDF ebook that goes with it. You get access to the video after the fact. And you'll have all the tools and resources to build your own electronic press kits because that's what it's all about. It's about building an electronic press kit. In fact, the seminar is called Building a Better EPK for Your Success with Dan Bublitz Jr. That's me. Woo-hoo. All right. All right. Now, if you haven't, you know what to do. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, leave a review, say some nice words about the podcast. Follow us on our social media, Art of Bombing Pod. Go to the website, artofbombingpod.com. Sign up for the mailing list. That's a monthly newsletter that I send out, which you still have time to get signed up for the next newsletter. And I think with that, this has been a long intro, but I had a lot to cover. But I think we're ready to get into this conversation. So here's my conversation with Miss Micah. Enjoy.
And now it's time for the stand-up soundbite.
Yeah, dating's been rough lately. My last ex-boyfriend, actually, he broke my heart twice. Once when he broke up. Second time when he changed the Netflix password. Gotta pay my own now. But being single is fun. I mean, I got so much room in my queen bed. I mean, I can fit my notebooks, my clothes, all my regrets. I actually let myself go during quarantine a little bit. I don't know if anybody else experienced the same. I went to the store the other day with my mask on, and people just couldn't stop staring at me, and I'm like, all right, I probably should have shaved my legs before I left the house.
You've been doing a lot of virtual shows.
I've done for a little bit and then things seem to be opening up again. So I was like taking a break from online and just started doing live mics again. But then now since everything is getting a little more serious again over here, I'm like turning more into online again.
And whereabouts are you as in the country here?
I'm in Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Okay, so you're in South Carolina. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right by Charlotte.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I got a friend that just moved from where I live here in the cities. He moved to North Carolina. I think he moved to Charlotte, actually.
Yeah, Charlotte's right in my backyard. It's like half a mile.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Wow. Really close then. Really close. Now, how long have you? I'm curious because you're German, right? That's the accent. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's from Germany. That's why I kind of recognize the accent. She sounds very similar to you. Did you do do comedy in Germany before you came over, or is this something that happened after?
It actually happened, like, I was always interested in comedy from, like, early teenage years, from, like, fifth grade. I was, like, really interested in, like, sketch comedy, and with my friend, we, like, back then there was no smartphone, so she had, like, a video camera, so we would, like, video our own little sketches at our house, yep. Have, like, sleepovers, and there was, like, certain German sketch shows on TV we would always watch and then catch up on and kind of, like, write down our own ideas. So in about, like, fifth grade, I always said, like, when I grow up, I want to be, like, a comedian, I want to be on TV, and I want to do stuff like that. But and it kind of, like, was just, like, a little phase, and then I never really, like, did anything to get to that goal. And then I moved here in 2011, and not until about 2 years ago is when I actually found out, like, the open mic scene that's going on here. And I was like, maybe I could pick up on where I left off as a teenager and just, like, get back into it and actually start working on it to get me to the goal.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I kind of the same as far as I was always kind of interested in it, and then I never pursued it. I started comedy way later in life. I was like 32, I think, when I started. But yeah, it's interesting as far as, you know, that goes, like the different I've talked to different comics from, you know, different parts of the world. And it just always intrigues me because I know some American comics that are actually live in Germany and they do English comedy over there and stuff. Have you ever had the chance to go to Germany, back to Germany and perform there, or
not yet? Because I wasn't really familiar with the open mic scene in Germany until recently. When, like, on Twitter, I, like, slowly started following, like, German comics, open micers, and actually 2 weeks ago was the first time I actually wrote my first joke in German. It's hard to believe, but everything I've written is all in English. And I was like, because people are always, you're so lucky, you can do comedy in two languages. And I'm like, well, I haven't written one joke in German. And so I slowly started it where I, like, take anything that could be said in German where people don't need, where it's, like, not like a wordplay or anything. It can easily translate. I, like, started, like, a separate a book where I, like, write everything in German so I can, like, maybe at one point have, like, a set actually in German.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking up to see if there's maybe some German online Zoom shows because everything seemed to be live and Zoom shows don't seem as big as over here in Germany, or I just haven't found them. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to join some German Zoom groups, shows, open mics, just to, like, see how my jokes would actually work in German because I haven't tried them out yet.
Yeah. So when you wrote those, did you have to write them in English first and then translate them, or was it just second nature to just do them right away in German? And I asked that because I've talked to other people who English is their second language, but they've been here so long that even to start writing jokes in their own language, they had to first do them in English and then kind of translate them.
It depends. Like, first, it was tough writing them in German because even at work, I write all my notes, everything in English. So I rarely write anything in German, and even when I, like, text my friends, I notice I have a hard time even, like, writing a text. Or even at work, I work for a German company. When I have to write, like, a formal German email to somebody, I have, like, hard time, and I have to, like, look up words and, like, how is that in German, and have, like, a hard time remembering words. And what helped me was on Twitter, where we have, like, the English word prompt every day, somebody actually has the German version of it, so they post, like, the German word of the day, and then it kind of, like, got me going to actually start writing in German. And there was actually a couple of words, like, related to Christmas in Germany, and it just kind of, like, was, like, my motivation to write more. So I actually started writing some jokes for the German word of the day in German, and then translated those in English wherever I could easily translate them and not lose the meaning of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's funny, when I was in high school, I actually took 3 years of German in high school, but I did not pay attention because I know very few words. I think I can count to maybe five. I don't even know if I can get that high anymore. And then I knew a couple words in profanity, and that was about it. It was pretty bad. I was terrible. Because most of my family, on my dad's side, is German, so I've always been intrigued by that. But as far as comedy goes, it's always intriguing that when people know other languages and can perform in other languages, just the, you know, the writing process and not just the writing process, but like performing and stuff too, because different cultures think different things are funny, obviously. So there's always these variations. So it's always intriguing to me. But have you, so you said that you guys got back into doing live comedy a little bit, and now it's kind of shutting back down. Is that?
Yeah, like beginning of the year, right in March, when everything was shut down here, everything like turned just to online. And at first I was skeptical about doing Zoom, and because I never really liked being on camera, and it just felt awkward at the beginning. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And then people started doing feedback mics, so I joined those, and then online shows started happening. So I did that until, I think, August, September, and that's when, like, live shows and mics started to come back a little bit here and there. So I did less online. So I think I did a live show in August. It was luckily outside. Where people still were not sure if it's safe, or people were still not sure about being inside with other people. Yeah. And then October and beginning of November, I did a lot of live mics. But I haven't done anything live since the end of November, where now everything is like just a little scary. Like, I know of a couple of local people that tested positive at mics that I used to go to. So I'm like somewhat cautious about going back out, because I know, like, usually, like, the big group of people, it's the same people that go from one mic to the next mic. So I know two positive, and then who knows, maybe somebody else got it and they just don't have any symptoms. And
yeah, that's the scariest part about it, is that you can have it for a while without even knowing it, you know, like, yeah, if you're not tested. So very scary. But hopefully, you know, today the vaccine is, you know, supposedly making its way around, so hopefully that'll help turn things around for a little bit. It'll still be a while, I think, before we get full on back to whatever normal will be in the future. But yeah, I found this whole, like, comedy interesting online, just, you know, it really amazing how people adapted, though. Like, that's how bad comics want stage time. They're like, oh, I can't go out, well, I'll just do it online.
Yeah,
I need to be on stage in front of people. But yeah, it's weird, because some of the shows I've been on have been fine, and some not. I mean, it's just like live comedy in those ways, where it's like some shows are great and others are terrible.
Yeah, it always depends on the host. What platform do they use to stream, and how organized is it? Mm-hmm. And like, do they time you, or do you have to self time? And then that can get unorganized. People running over. Like, I've been on Zoom shows where people just, like, they got the light and then just keep talking because they don't pay attention. And then it's like, supposed to have a 5-minute set, and then it's like 7-8, and then the person just keeps talking, and everybody's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I'm helping with the San Diego Comedy Festival that's going on right now, and they're doing it virtually. And to control time, they just, like, put the host back in the spotlight and just been like, all right, that's their time. You know, like, they're actually, you know, cutting them off and stuff. And I feel like with Zoom that you almost have to, because it's so easy to lose track of time if you're not timing yourself, because even if the host lights you, you don't know where they're at, you know, like, even if you're in gallery mode, they're not going to necessarily be in the same spot every time. So it's like, I've even had trouble where I'm like, where's the light? How do I, where's it going to come? What is it going to be? Who am I looking for?
Yeah.
As opposed to.
Yeah, I think some of the shows I attended is hosted by people that are still fairly new in comedy and just kind of like set up their own shows. So they're probably not like the type of people where they're just like, okay, your time is up now. And they just kind of like force it where they're like, okay, mm-hmm. I don't really want to be a dick right now. And just like, okay.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. You definitely see that where people don't want to be jerks. But sometimes you have to be a jerk because otherwise people will run the light forever. Just go on and on and on and on. Yeah, I haven't done a lot of, I've done some like virtual shows, but I haven't done a lot of like virtual mics, like open mics. It's the one thing I've done a couple. I don't know, things kind of opened up here pretty quickly where I was, so I could go to like live open mics if I wanted to, so it wasn't like I was pressed to go do open mics online or whatever. But the few that I've been to were pretty fun. I mean, they were, you know, some were better than others. That's for sure. That's for sure. But so what, just out of curiosity, not comedy related, I guess specifically, but what brought you over to the US? Was it your job then? Is that what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I work for a German company. My apprenticeship in Germany with the same company. And then during my second year of my apprenticeship, they had like a little exchange program where six of us came over here during summer and just worked here for 6 weeks just to have like a little like experience over here. And I really liked it because as a teenager, I always thought about, oh my God, America is so great, living a dream, no rules. I always wanted to be in America, and then I got the chance and I just didn't want to go home. And once I had to go back to Germany, I was all sad and I just wanted to come back here. And the manager back then, he was German too. And he's like, well, you know, I need more people here. So why don't you send me your resume? And then once you finish your apprenticeship, we can probably get you a position. So a year later, I did my final exam. And then the next morning I was in the plane. They already had it set up. They got me a position. They had the flight booked and everything before I had my final exam. And, they were pretty confident everything works out.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. You still feel that way about now that you've been here for quite a while? Are you still like, I just want to be in America? Or are you like, maybe I'm a little eager?
I still like it. It's been almost 10 years now. And at the beginning, I didn't even expect me to make it past a year or two, because it was still weird because before I moved, I haven't even lived by myself. I was still living with my parents. So, and then I never had to pay rent or anything and had to pay bills, utilities. So I just like left home, totally different continent all by myself. I mean, of course I had help at work.
Well, that's super scary.
People are like, okay, you need to get a social security card. You need to get this. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And so it was tough figuring out like the difference between cultures. Like, what do I need here? And what do I need to take care of? Like, I need a car. And find an apartment. I had to buy furniture, everything. So it took maybe a year or two to finally like settle down, like, okay, I know how the system works. It was different. Like the language right at the beginning, my English was not perfect. And then having to go to like the Social Security Administration, explain them what I need and hopefully understanding them, because I wasn't like, plus I'm like in the southern states, so everybody has like a little southern accent. So at the beginning, it was hard getting used to not being that good in English. But now that I do like it, and I feel like over here, if you're like young without family, like no kids, nothing, I feel like it's better living here because there's so much more activities, so much more stuff to do for young people. Compared to every time I go visit Germany, it's just boring. Around the holidays, everything is shut down, stores, restaurants, everything is closed. So you pretty much have to be with your family during the holidays. school of friends.
Oh, no.
They don't have anybody. But, yeah, I noticed it. And then the only thing I really miss about Germany is my vacation and probably the healthcare. That's the only thing where I would be like, okay, that would be a reason to move back.
What kind of vacation do you get over there?
6 weeks.
Holy buckets.
Yeah.
Wow. So
it depends on who you work for, but by law, employers have to give you 21 days minimum by law.
Wow. That's like 3 weeks. That's still amazing.
I worked the minimum in Germany.
I had to work for a company like, I think I was there almost, well, I was there 10 years, but I think, in 10 years, I think I finally had 3 weeks of vacation. And that was, maybe I had more, but still, I had to earn it. It wasn't like it was just there. Like, it started with you get a week, and then after so many other years, you get another week, and then it started accumulating you get like 1 day every year after that or something. So it was like 10 years before I had that much time.
Yeah, that's how it was here too. The first year, luckily they gave me the 3 years of the apprenticeship in Germany towards the vacation. So I already had 3 years of the company and I started with like 10 days. So it was one of the biggest changes. Because of course, like once a year I wanted to see my family. So pretty much all my vacation would be used just to see my family and not really any time left to actually go on vacation.
Yeah. Which we all need those, that's for sure. Yeah. A good vacation.
In Germany, the good part in Germany is if you get sick, you don't have to use your vacation. Where here, I was like, okay, what if I get sick? And they're like, well, you have to use your vacation. And I was like, what do you mean? I have to use my vacation days when I'm sick? Like, we don't get any sick days unless you have like short-term disability, but I think it doesn't kick in until 5 or 7 days. So if you just have like a cold for a couple of days, there goes like your 2-3 days of vacation.
Yeah.
Being homesick and has like, it just sucks. Like in Germany, you just like go to the doctor, they write you out, you hand in the paper where the doctor says, okay, I can't come to work. And then pretty much your insurance pays you. You get your normal pay by your insurance. And in Germany, what's funny is we actually have, if you're on vacation and you get hurt or sick on your vacation, you can request those vacation days back because in Germany, they believe in your vacation days being for you to relax and just like take a time out. But if you actually get sick during your vacation, you can pretty much request those days back.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I know. We're here. It's the total opposite.
Yeah. So. That's for sure. We're lucky they give vacation days at all. In some places, it's terrible. But, well, as interesting as all this is, it's getting a little depressing talking about work and jobs. So we're going to switch it over to the fun stuff and talk about more comedy. More specifically, we're going to talk about the Art of Bombing. And I'd love to hear your story of a time where you felt like you bombed really hard, or it was a bad show.
It was actually pretty recent. It was on Friday when it was an online show, and I had the opportunity to guest host the show because the regular host was invited to do another show. So he reached out and asked me if I wanted to host the show, and I was like, sure, I don't want to turn down an opportunity. And we did a couple of tryout sessions, and it was on StreamYard, and I know how tricky it can get with your internet and all the little features it has and staying on track. So we did a couple of practice sessions, and I was like, okay, I feel pretty comfortable doing this. And then Friday I had to do the show, and then as the host, I was doing my set at the beginning and then just introduce all the comics, and everybody has their own little intro video, and he has like different promotional slides he's showing at the beginning and end and all kinds of announcements. And it was my first time actually hosting, so it was a little overwhelming. And then
it was a lot of work, so it can be a lot of work because it's more of a job.
I know, it's totally different than a live show. In a live show, you just go up there, make your announcement, do your set, and you pretty much just hand off the mic. But online, you have like so much to keep up. And if somebody makes noise, you have to mute them and keep track of where it's coming from. And then, okay, now I need to move people in the spotlight and like have to read the comments, show the comments on the screen, and just all these little things you have to keep up with. Mm-hmm. So then I noticed the more people are coming in the studio, my internet started getting a little wacky. And that already made me panic. I was like, oh my God, I'm like on my own here. I have to run the show. And if the internet crashes, I'm going to like ruin the show. And then I didn't want like the show to get like a bad reputation for me having bad internet and like ruining it. And at the beginning, I had to do my set. And I just felt like I actually had new jokes and I posted them online before the show and I got like really good responses. People like reached out like, oh my God, this joke was so great and it's so funny. And I used a couple of older jokes that I know worked and I was just doing my set and I don't know if it was my internet, but I felt like I got maybe one laugh during my whole set. And I don't know, I was just like freaking out, like oh my God, I know these jokes are working. I don't know if it was, and then I started panicking, maybe it's my sound or internet, because on my screen it was looking fine and I wasn't sure like how it's looking on YouTube, because it was streamed on mm-hmm. YouTube live too and there was a bunch of people watching. So I was like panicking on the inside trying to do my set and just not pay attention that there's no laughs coming. And it was pretty intense. And it was you know, I was like, okay, maybe I don't know, maybe my jokes are just that bad, or maybe it's just because it was pretty much comics in the studio.
I was just gonna ask that because that's where I was curious, because I've noticed performing on StreamYard is a lot harder, and even at the beginning of the pandemic you could only have like a limited amount of people in the stream at a time, and you couldn't have just like now you can have a bunch of people in the stream. You can hide all their pictures and only have one performer up, so you can still hear them laugh and stuff. That was like an update that came later. At the beginning of the pandemic, that wasn't possible. But performing stand-up on StreamYard, I feel like, is a lot harder than like Zoom, where you can have people have unmuted mics and you can hear the laughter get, you know, even though there's still a delay and the timing can be thrown off a little bit, you still get that, you know, you get that response. But and like with this, usually the people that are in the stream, even when you can have up to 10 people, it's not an audience. It's other performers waiting to go on, you know. So it's harder to get those laughs out of them, I feel like. That's the only thing, like if this program allowed to where you could have like an audience where you could just like have their audio, like similar to Zoom, obviously, this would be like one of the best platforms for comedy, with the fact that you can stream to so many different places. But yeah. I don't know. It's definitely hard.
Yeah. That was like one of my worst experiences so far, because after the show, I just felt so bad, because I noticed like when I had to switch between like the comments on our mm-hmm. private chat and moving comments around, and I noticed like how my internet took a little bit to like catch up to where I was actually able to click something or drag something, and I was just in panic mode the whole time. I didn't get any laughs, and I wasn't sure if it's just a delay, because you never know like how long should I wait? Like, I don't know if because sometimes it takes like 5 seconds to get to them with the internet, and mm-hmm. then you just wait on the response. And then I'm like, okay, should I keep waiting or is it really not landing? And then I don't want to look even more stupid just waiting. And then, it was like, it just bumped me out that I like barely got laughs, and my internet was wacky. And then people in between said, oh, your sound is like breaking up. And then I just started panicking, because I was like, I had so much in my head, and I'm like, I don't know what to do about the sound. And then one guy in the audience, he somehow caused my sound to be wacky, so we had to mute him and it got a little better. But I was just in panic mode like the whole time, and about my internet. And just after the show, I just had like one of those moments where I was like, okay, I don't even want to watch the replay, because I felt bad about the show. I didn't get laughs. I don't want to rewatch my set. And it was just, I just wanted to like delete it from my brain, like it never happened. I was like, it was.
If only it was that easy to get rid of those bad sets, just to delete them from the brain. It's like you can delete them from the internet, you can delete the video, and you can delete the audio, but it'll still be stuck in the brain.
Yeah,
I totally can relate to that, because when people were first doing shows online or whatever, and people were experimenting with different things, I had ran into that same problem where, for me, I didn't have the technology. Really, I didn't have a decent microphone. I mean, I had decent microphones, but not for my computer. You know, I had in studio stuff or whatever for recording the podcast or whatever. But then my computer was, 4 or 5 years old, and I tried hosting stuff, and I was having issues with the same thing where internet was causing lag. Now, my internet was slow. It was a lot slower than I thought. It turned out I didn't have the service that I thought I did. So I had to upgrade that, but then my computer wasn't very good. So it was like a lot of delay, a lot of lag, this and that or whatever. Same thing. I'd be going and doing my jokes, and then suddenly comments would be popping up. Like, people would be like, "We can't hear you. I don't know. You're lagging in and out. You're lagging in and out." I'm like, "Oh, man." And then finally I was just like, you know what? I guess I need to upgrade if I'm going to keep up with where everything's going. So I ended up getting a new computer and a new microphone and like all kinds of new equipment just to keep up with virtual comedy. So hopefully it doesn't go away completely, because now I have all this.
I know. That's why I'm like I got the microphone, but I didn't want to like buy two microphones, where one is like for computer and one for shows. So I just ended up buying two cables. So I actually use the same mic to when I go to shows, where I just started taking it everywhere. Because I noticed, like, depending on who's hosting it, you have, like, 20 comics passing the same mic around at open mics, and not everybody is good about sanitizing it or putting covers on it. And so I just started, like, when I bought it a couple of months ago, I just take it to all the open mics, just plug it in, all the shows I did. Like, I usually ask them beforehand, like, are you okay with it if I just use my own mic? And sometimes people come up and like, "Oh, what's the deal with you using your own mic?" And I'm like, "Right now, I just feel comfortable."
I can't believe anybody.
Yeah, like, do you know what's going on right now? Like, have you watched the news recently?
Right? I'm like trying to wrap my brain about the fact that anybody would ask that right now. Like, why do you think I've got my own microphone right now?
I know.
You know, it's funny because I've seen some shows where the people have been really good about, taking care of the microphone and sanitizing, where like they'll have two mics, and when one comic's up, they're cleaning the other one, and then they swap them back and forth. And then I was at another show where they had everything you needed to sanitize the mic up there, and I watched, but you had to do it yourself. And then I watched like 4 or 5 comics in a row go up there, and not one of them used the sanitizing stuff to clean the mic. And I was just like, "Oh,
yeah."
It's like, why? It's right there. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that's why I started taking mine everywhere. Because somebody sent me an article where there was like people doing a karaoke party, and all of them kind of like tested positive because they found out it was the mic they were passing around.
Oh,
jeez. Like, so I was like, okay, I got my own. And I actually invested, like I bought on Amazon one like 100 pack of like the covers. So if I ever get like to a place where I can't use my mic, I have the covers to put on. And it just...
Yeah, that's smart. So using it on your computer then, how does that microphone work on your computer then? Because that just looks like a regular microphone.
Yeah, it's just a regular stage mic.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, and I looked it up.
Is it an XLR to USB or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the cable. So I got two cables. You can buy just the adapter that goes on the XLR to USB. But then I just ended up buying two cables because it was just $8 for the cable. So I got one cable that has USB, and then a separate cable that I can hook up to my amp. So if I decide to like have my own open mic, I can hook it up. Or if I like take it to shows, I just use the mic and plug it into their XLR cable on stage and it just works right away.
Well, yeah, that much I know. I guess I've never, because a lot of times you have to have a interface. That's why I'm wondering how you're getting your mic to work just via USB. Is it a special mic too? Well, that's an option, because I've never seen anybody use a regular mic without having that interface.
No, it was just pretty much plug and play, just a regular stage mic. I just plugged in a cable, and it has one end the XLR, and the other end is just USB. I plugged it in, and I didn't need to install anything. It was just right away.
Interesting.
And people say it sounds good and clear, so
yeah. Oh no, I didn't know that they made cable. I mean, I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. It saved me a lot of money. I spent like $150 on my microphone, and it's just for USB.
Yeah, that's what I try to avoid, because I wanted my own stage mic and one for the computer, and people sent me like listings for like USB mics, and a good one was starting at like $150 entry level. Yep. And I got this one on Amazon for $38, and it already came with a cable. Like it had two cable options to choose from on Amazon that it comes with. And then I just bought the USB cable on top of that for $8.
Hmm. Oh, hey, if that works, that's good. Can't beat that. Can't beat a bargain, that's for sure.
I know.
Especially,
it's a trusted brand, so it's a sure, where I know it's a decent company that people use. So,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yep, sure is a good microphone brand. Well, now when you have a bad set, excuse me, and what do you try to do to analyze the set, try to learn from it to get better?
What I usually do, what I shouldn't do, is not listen to it, because I try to record everything, and every time something is online, I usually get like my video sent to me or recorded off YouTube. On stage, I just record it on my phone myself, and I usually force myself to listen to it. I mean, usually I wait a couple of days, because if I know it was a bad set and I'm like in the mood where I know it was bad and I just don't want to think about it, I wait until the feeling kind of wears off and I'm like, okay, I should listen to it. And then I usually make like a list. I write down the jokes that I said, and then I like mark which one got a laugh, which one didn't. And then I kind of like try to see if I told the joke before and I see if it got laughs before, I kind of like see, okay, maybe it was the audience, because I'm like, I did mics in like North Carolina, South Carolina, and you get like different crowds. Like the more south you go, it's more like kind of like country is redneck people, so they kind of like tend to laugh about different stuff than when you go up north, where it's like different type of audiences, where some of the mics I go to where it's like just comics in the audience. So is it like, okay, did I not get laughs because there was like small audience and people just focusing on their own little sets and not really paying attention? And then when I did actual shows, I noticed the same jokes kind of like land and get laughs. So I'm trying to figure out if it's like, if the jokes are actually bad and ready to be tossed, or I give them like a couple of tries, like, okay, maybe I really need to cut it out, because I try to tell it like at like all different locations and it just doesn't get a laugh. So maybe it's just time to get rid of it. And then I just mark the ones that did get a laugh, or just get a laugh here and there, and just maybe like, tweak the words a little bit, like, okay, what if I just switch out the one word? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the joke was just too long and people just like lost track of where it was actually going, and just play around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the fact that you're willing to throw jokes away is amazing, because a lot of people, it seems like, even if a joke doesn't work, they try so hard to like keep trying it, you know, like, and if you don't like try to rewrite it, you're not ever going to be able to force a joke to work, you know, like on its first try. You know, if you're not either, you know, trying it, you know, with a different delivery or wording or whatever it might be. So that's a really good thing to be able to do, because, you know, like I said, it's, as writers, I read one time, and I forget where I read it. I think it's kind of a popular trope, though. You got to be able to kill your babies. And it seems like with comics, they don't ever want to kill their babies.
I mean, if it's like usually I always like have my jokes based off like real life experiences, stuff that happened to me. But sometimes it's just stuff that's just funny to me, like an experience of like, okay, this is really funny. And then I just tell it and people just don't think it's funny. And I just play around and try it out. And it's just, if it doesn't really like land, or people just don't connect with it because they just haven't had that experience or just can't like get into it.
Mm-hmm. And that can be a big thing if they can't, you know, can't relate to it. But let me ask you this then, how many times do you have like a time limit on a joke before you cut it? How many times you try it before you're like, okay, that's definitely not going to work, I should just cut it? Or is it just kind of depends on the joke?
I mean, usually I try to like, if I tell a joke and it doesn't land at one mic, then I usually try to like play around. Like, okay, let's see if I can reword it, get some input from friends. Like, what do you think I could change? And then maybe get some ideas from other people. And I usually I try to like go to different locations, but at the same location, maybe try the same joke 2-3 times. Because usually at the same mics, it's usually the same people around. And I think like if I tell the same joke with different modifications 3 times at the same mic and it just doesn't land, maybe I just put it on the shelf. Like, okay, let's just leave it for now. Maybe pick up later. Maybe because I have some jokes that I started at the beginning that just didn't land, but then now later on I feel like I have more ideas and tags for it where I like pick back up on it and just, okay, let's take it off the shelf and maybe try this new tag or the new idea I have. Or maybe I can have a few jokes where I can like actually put them together with other jokes because they're like based off the same experience, topic, where like try to work them in where they didn't work out before. And sometimes that works out. But in general, if I tell the same joke like 3-4 times at the same mic and the same joke doesn't really get big laughs at different shows, then just like put it to the side for now.
Right on. Yeah, that's a good way to do. I mean, you really, because I feel like you really have to. I mean, I know some comics will give it like, if it doesn't work in 3 times, it's done. But it's like, I don't know, you have these different variations of audiences, especially with open mics, because a lot of times it's just comics and they're not really necessarily a good gauge as you know, to tell you if a joke works. You don't really know if a joke's gonna work until you get to do it in front of like, you know, a real audience or whatever. The bumming and bombing, the dreadful feeling you get after you bomb, how long does that typically last for you?
It depends. Usually it's just like that night, or like on Friday, the whole like right after the show, I just felt like, okay, I just need to go out and get me like cake right now, just to like eat my feelings. Like I felt like I just need to go and just eat and just like something to distract my mind to not think about it. And yeah, the next day
would be like, I need to go get a drink, and you're like, I need to go get some cake.
I actually cut out drinking pretty much for good. But yeah, I'm more the person that just needs to eat feelings. Like if something like that, I just need to eat. And then it's usually just the same night. And then Saturday, the regular host sent me an email and the subject just said, I watched the show. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to open the email. And then it just starts all over and he's probably going to like beat me up for my internet getting stuck. And but he actually gave me really good feedback that I did a good show and everything ran smoothly. And he could tell, like, towards the end, I got the hang of it with putting comics in the spotlight. But I still didn't really want to watch the replay of it because I just had the feeling it was really bad. And but usually the feeling lasts, like, for the same night, maybe the day after. And then I just kind of get over it. I'm like, okay, it happens, and I don't need to, like, I don't want to beat myself up about it and just say, like, I mean, the best people bombed, and it just happens, you know.
Oh, it absolutely.
I not to let it get to me, like, too much. I'm like, okay, let's just not focus on it the whole time and just, like, distract my brain for a little bit. And
yeah, just distract the brain. That's a good good philosophy. Sometimes it's harder to do. It's easier to say that than actually do it, but we got to get through it, because you're right, because it's one of them things where everybody bombs, so you know it's part of the process. That's one thing that I've learned over the years. What goes through your brain when a joke is not working? Like, when you're on stage and you tell a joke that you think is going to work and then it doesn't, or you feel like you're starting to bomb, what starts going through your mind?
My initial thought is always, like, if it happens right at the beginning of my set and I have, like, I just started and, like, the first joke or the first couple of jokes bomb, I just get the feeling, I'm like, they're not going to laugh at the other jokes. If they don't laugh now, I mean, the whole set is just going to be terrible. And I just get the feeling, like, I might as well stop right now and just be like, okay, that's my time. Thanks, everybody. It's just, I don't know. I feel like if it's right at the beginning, I feel like the whole set is just going to be bad. But as soon as, like, laughs start picking up, it gets better. But yeah, it's just, like, I tend to panic a lot. And if a joke doesn't land, I just feel like, okay, maybe I'm not a comic. Maybe I shouldn't be up here. But I feel like everybody has, like I watch everybody else, and not all of their jokes get laughs. So I mean, I know it's like, okay, not every joke is gonna land. But in my brain, it's just, okay, maybe you're just not meant to be a comic. Maybe I shouldn't be up here. And I just, like, try to, like, finish this set. And I'm like, okay, let's see if I can pull something out of my sleeve where I know it works and hopefully get a big laugh. But I haven't really had, besides Friday, where it felt like I didn't get laughs. Besides that, I haven't had any show where I got, like, zero laughs. So there was always, like, the tested out jokes where I know they get laughs, and they did. So I feel like I try to tell myself at the end, like, even if some didn't land and it was just crickets, as long as I did get some laughs, I'm still happy about it, because I don't want to, like, compare myself to, like, the big professionals that just get, like, a laugh every 15, 20 seconds. I'm like, okay, you're not there yet. So it's okay if not all jokes land. And if I get a couple of decent laughs, or every now and then I actually got some, like, claps or people, like, beating on the table laughing, I'm like, okay, if I just have one of those and the rest is crickets, that means for me it's great. And 2 months ago I did a mic, and I did feel like a couple of jokes were bombing. And then I added a brand new tag to one of my jokes that I just pretty much on the spot thought about, and I said it. And one guy, he actually, like, started laughing and snorting and gasping. So I had to wait, like, 20 seconds on him to, like, stop. And I was like, I hope he's okay. He was like trying to breathe and laugh. And I'm like, I guess this tag was just, like, it just got to him. And everybody started laughing about him because he was just going and going. But some of the jokes just bombed during that set. But just with him, like, having that reaction, I felt like, okay, the set wasn't really that bad. Just having that one reaction where somebody just, like, loses it, it still kind of, like, made me feel like, okay, this was a good set.
Sometimes that's all it takes, is one great audience member. Make the difference. And that can go either way. Sometimes it's that one person that's just sitting there like a lump on a log being, you know, they can make the difference too. But it's always fun when you have one person that's a big laugher, because then because laughter is contagious, like you said, with, you know, people were laughing at it, that person that was laughing and snorting. So that's always great. Well, now we're going to turn around. We're going to turn around and do some fun stuff here. I like to end more positive. You know, we talk about bad shows, but I like to do some fun stuff too. And so one of the new things I've been doing is I built an Art of Bombing Get Pumped playlist. And so now when I have guests on, I'd like to know if there's a song that gets them pumped and in the mood for comedy.
Yeah, I actually do have a song. I actually used on a show recently as the walkout song. And it's a Scottish artist. He goes by Honor, which is just the three letters O-N-R. And the one song is Love in Suburbia. And it's just like the whole like song is just like really high energy and just fast paced. And yeah, it's just one of those songs, you hear it and you just immediately just want to like jump and move. And it's just like in my mind, like I listen to it in the car on the way to a show. I just turn on in the car and just automatically have like this feeling where I just like, okay, I'm ready to go on stage. And just, like, and then I picked it as my walkout song as well. And it's just kind of like gets me in the headspace. It just has that really high energy kind of feel where you just want to like, you just like, you're just ready to like get out the house and just.
that's how it makes the way you're moving. It looks like you're like some Hulk Hogan, like, Hulkamania. Get ready to ball.
That's how the song makes me feel.
I love it. I love it. What's one of your favorite gigs that you've done so far?
It was a show recently. Actually, the last one I did before I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay home for a while until things clear up. It was in November. I did a show about an hour away. And I was actually, it was a sold out show. And I was like, in my mind, I was already panicking because it was sold out and so many people. And on my way down, I actually thought about new tags for some of my jokes. And all those tags actually landed and got, like, great laughs. And I got, like, two big claps in between for my jokes. And it was, like, one of my best sets, I feel like, based off the feedback I got from them, too, having other people listening to it. And just how people like, people said they can tell like how I advanced in my sets, and they said it was one of my best ones. And also based off the audience reactions, getting the big claps in between. And it was like one that was actually beating on the table laughing at one of my tags that I just thought of on my way down. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to give it a shot and throw these tags in there, and actually got laughs on each tag. So it just made me feel really good.
Nice. That's great. That's always good. Those table beaters sometimes they're
great.
instead of knee slappers, we're going to have to change them to table slappers.
I know.
Well, last question I got for you. It's actually a game called Pick a Number. You're going to pick a number between 1 and 20. I'm going to ask you a corresponding question that may or may not be comedy related.
Let's do 17.
17. What's your most embarrassing moment?
Most embarrassing? I actually thought about, I tried to make a bit out of it. It was a couple of years ago. I took personal trainer lessons at the gym, and the trainer, of course, personal trainers are always good looking and you kind of like have a crush on him. And like, okay, maybe I'm the one student where he like, oh, okay, she's kind of like cute. So you like, you want to like look good. And I had some really Well, I didn't make the best food choices before my lesson. So it kind of got me a little gassy.
Oh, no.
So, and then so we had to do some ab exercises, and it's just kind of like yoga where certain poses just kind of relax you a little too much. So some of the poses he had me do ab exercises where I was in positions where I was like, okay, you can hold it, but I was not able to.
Oh, no.
And it was just me on the floor with my legs like over, and I was like, oh my God. I didn't want to be weird and like, oh my God, I gotta like run to the bathroom right now. So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna like try to hold it in. I can do this, but I just wasn't able to. And It was one of those words, you know, like it was like you could smell it too, and it was really embarrassing. And it's like one of those moments where it's like, okay, is there anybody close by where he could be like, okay, well, it probably wasn't her, it was probably the person, but there wasn't really like anybody close to us. So, and then it's kind of like those moments where you get up and you just try to distract them, just talk to them, where he like maybe not pays attention to what just happened. But it was
pretty. Oh, man. So the real question is, after that day, did you go back, or was that the last? Was that the last lesson you did with the personal trainer?
It was the once a month thing anyway. So I only saw him for an hour every month, where we did like and weigh in, and he would give me like my new workout plan. But I think I did. It's been like probably 6 years at least since it happened. So I think I did still go back, but it was just, I knew to make better food choices before and what not to eat, but it was just, of course it has to happen like right here, right now. And,
yeah, it's timing. Timing's everything. Yeah, even the wrong like, time.
Yeah, it's like one of the reasons that keeps me from going to too many yoga sessions, because it's just those poses where, because I've been to yoga before where somebody in the back and you could hear it, because it's just like certain poses when you're like,
been traumatized.
Yeah, it's just certain poses where you have like no control, where it's just everything relaxes. And I don't know if you've done yoga, but
I've done a little bit of yoga, but I don't. Yeah. I've never been to any classes. I do. I have like my own yoga cards, and you know, and I'll just do the poses, some of the poses at home. Like I'm not a big. I've never been big on gym memberships and going to gyms and stuff. Like I try to work out at home. I don't work out very well. Or very often.
Yeah, it's kind of what happened to me during quarantine. All the gyms are closed. And I was just getting in the habit going back to the gym, and then everything shut down, and everybody started panicking because nobody knew what was going on. And I started getting like really freaked out and scared. So my first response, of course, was eating. So I was just like, eating all the candies and whatever I can find in my pantry, and
yeah, right there with you. I did a lot of. I've gained a lot of weight over the quarantine.
Yeah, that's what I noticed too.
But I gotta, I've been trying to, because I'm diabetic, so I gotta actually think about diet. I try to be balanced. My biggest problem is I enjoy beer. And not like, I'm not like a raging alcoholic where I get drunk, but I like the taste of beer. But that's like the worst thing for me with that being diabetic, because it's so carby. And then of course I love pizza and I love pasta. Like I love all these carby things that don't help with my weight. So I try to balance it, and I eat salad off and on, but I'm not eating enough salad.
Yeah, that's the problem I have right now. Because it's just my brain. If I get stressed out, or even at work, if something stresses me out. I just, my first response is like, okay, go to a vending machine and just like grab something. It's just my coping mechanism to stress.
Well, we all got our mechanisms, I guess. We all got to cope somehow, right? Well, this has been great. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you online?
I'm mostly active on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Micah, M-E-I-K-E-E. Yeah, I'm on Facebook too, but not really comedy. Like, I feel like Facebook is still somewhat my personal kind of thing. Like, I'm friends with a lot of comics on there, but I don't really post much comedy related updates mm-hmm. on it. So I mostly do that on Instagram and Twitter and just kind of stay in touch with anything comedy related on there.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
See you. Are we actually leaving or just it?
The Art of Bombing is a Blitzed Entertainment production, hosted and produced by me, Dan Bublitz Jr. The stand-up spotlight bumper was produced by Joe Nicola Music. The Art of Bombing theme music was written and performed by John Holt. All other music was used under Creative Commons licensing. All stand-up audio clips were used with permission from the comedians. You can help the podcast by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating, and a review. For previous episodes, merch, blogs, and more, please visit theartofbombingpod.com. And remember, stay safe so you can live to love.